Welcome to the Creative Minds Smart Money Podcast, the ultimate podcast for creative entrepreneurs blending creativity with financial savvy. Hosted by a seasoned bookkeeper passionate about helping creatives thrive, this show covers the basics of bookkeeping, delivering tips, tricks, and insights to keep your finances in check and your creative spirit free. Tune in to transform your creative passions into a prosperous business without sacrificing your artistic vision.
Hello, fellow dreamers and doers. You're listening to the Creative Minds Smart Money Podcast, and I'm your host, Samantha Eck. Today, I'm excited to welcome special guest Ambrosia Carey. Ambrosia Carey is a renowned business consultant specializing in creating unique marketing strategies for creative businesses and independent educators. As a seven-figure salon owner, founder of Successful Stylist Academy, and co-owner of Extension Line Rooted Hair, Ambrosia leverages her extensive industry experience to help professionals streamline operations, develop leadership skills, and boost profitability. With over 20 years working with others, her passion for nurturing business growth is evident in her tailored approach, ensuring each client receives a clear roadmap to success and sustainable growth. Ambrosia, thank you so much for joining us today. So I'd love to know, what drove you to become a success coach?
Hey, thank you so much for having me on here today. And I'm excited to talk about this because I think most people that are listening in probably have very similar pain points or probably have an idea of what would be expected versus what we would get in return. And early in my career, I encountered challenges in hiring the right business coach. I would get grand promises like, oh, you're going to four times your business or big promises like that. Or it turned into a pep rally where it would be like a, you can do this, like a motivational thing. And the problem was that I wasn't lacking motivation. It was more, what kind of steps can I implement in this business to make more sense of it? Or I would even get book recommendations. So they were less action steps and more internal processing. And this experience inspired me to become a success coach with more of a consultant approach. I realized that my own journey of overcoming obstacles and achieving my dreams could serve as a blueprint for others. So there's something profoundly fulfilling about turning my own personal experience and insights into tools that can help people navigate their own paths. So just witnessing those aha moments when clients would see their the possibilities or even breaking through barriers is really what has driven me. And it's become a part of a series of personal transformations. Each one is unique and deeply meaningful.
That's awesome. So can you explain the importance of having a marketing plan for your business?
Yes, absolutely. Just to give you a little background, before I opened up my salon, before I started consulting other businesses, I was going to school for marketing. And it's interesting because everything comes full circle again. A marketing plan provides structure, clarity, and direction for your business. So I kind of have like this funny analogy that I like to lean on sometimes, but allowing your marketing efforts to be strategic, efficient, and effective, and driving your growth and achieving your business objectives is super important because without a marketing plan, businesses risk inconsistency in messaging or unclear targeting, also inefficient resource allocation. So that could also happen. So my analogy I like to use is, it's like driving without directions. You might get there eventually, but you're going to reach your destination eventually, hopefully, but it might take longer or it will cost more time and resources. So we just want to make sure we're being efficient and really purposeful in our business.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a really big thing is just finding clarity in your messaging and knowing what you need, because otherwise you don't know where you're going. Exactly. So how can a business identify its target audience effectively?
So sometimes I think people can overthink where they are delivering their message or who they're delivering it to. So I would just start out by looking at your own client base. Even if you only have one client, I think just starting there, just look at what commonalities you're seeing. And another thing you can do is sending out surveys or polls or even looking at your very own analytics. You can start out a beta group if you're fresh in your journey, or you can even go into separate engagement groups or even looking at your own community within your own social media channels. So some of the free resources you can use might be through SurveyMonkey or Google Forms, even Typeform's another one that a lot of us like to use. But looking over your Google Analytics is going to be also really important. So that way you know, and you can combine that with your social analytics even using industry keywords, but looking at those and just looking for consistent messaging, what kind of nuances are you seeing within all of these different clients that you might have? And then there is also Google Analytics 360 suite, which I think right. you have to pay for that. There's also HubSpot or Domo. But I think really starting small, keeping it simple, looking at the consistencies that your own clients have, how can you serve them better? How can you get them to return back to you? Finding the answers to that is really what's going to help you with creating that journey or even like starting out that roadmap.
Right. So with starting out that roadmap, what are the first steps an entrepreneur should take when building a marketing plan?
Yeah. So if I was going to speak on just really starting out that journey, I think defining your business goals is going to be the number one most important lever in your business. Because if you don't know where your business goals are, then it's like we're going back into that driving analogy, right? Like you don't really know where you're headed. So if you can clearly outline what you're aiming to achieve in your marketing efforts, an example could be increasing sales or building awareness or growing your customer base. Knowing the answers to those is really what's going to help you deciding on how you actually want to strategically play that out. And then there's some other little things I think that I would probably insert in there too. Let's just go over some of these things together. One would be direction in your focus. So aligning your efforts with your business goals and keeping your team on track if you have a team. And I would say as a little sidebar, it's really easy to get excited about your business and want to start out a team and grow it and introduce other people. But I would say getting clear on that first before you start inviting others in is going to help you really stay focused. A lot of people can insert their opinions and it's really great to offer that as a kind of a collaborative type of thing. But I think just getting it narrowed down on really what it is that your objectives are first before you expand your team is really important. And then the next step would be resource management. So if you have a budget, let's say, or sometimes it's not always monetary, it can be time management as well.
Right.
But knowing where your resources are so that you can funnel that into your highest return on investment. So you want to make sure that you're putting your budget, your time into your highest ROI. And then the next step would be understanding your target audience, right? So you want to tailor your messaging to make sure that you're engaging and converting with the right audience. And then after that, once you know your target audience, then you can go into what your competitive advantage might be. So that helps you differentiate what your business is, your goals and your competitors, and analyzing where those marketing trends can really help with supporting your goals as well. After that, I think it's really important once you have those answers, then you really want to just be consistent with something before you actually start measuring and really changing your direction. So that could be maintaining a consistent brand messaging on all of your channels. Start there. And then the next step after that would be performing your measurements. So like I was saying, being consistent first, and then you can go into measuring your performance. So then you can track those KPIs and then you can adjust those strategies. But you just want to make sure you give yourself enough time. So my suggestion is anywhere between a couple of months to quarterly, I would say.
Okay.
And then adapting. So then you're going to adjust anything that might not be working. And then you're going to start the whole process all over again by setting your goals and just seeing what you're achieving and what your actionable steps might be in return. So in encompassing all of that, I think just really starting out small and then growing broader from there.
Okay. No, that totally makes sense. You got to take the first step to get to the end goal, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So I know you've already touched on this a little bit, but what are the key elements of a really successful marketing plan?
So there's quite a bit. I'm going to try to simplify it as much as possible. And if I start going into it too deep, then you can interrupt me and just let me know. So because you are dealing with finance and most people that are listening to you are probably really looking for those resources, I'm going to use you as an example. Yeah. So I think having an executive summary, but finding that executive summary are going to come from all of these steps that would lead to it. So if I were to use an example of your executive summary, I would say maybe you're wanting to attract new clients and retain your existing ones through that marketing plan, right? And then that plan is going to be done through leveraging your digital marketing or client engagement, possibly even thought leadership strategies to achieve that. And then that's something that you want to set a measurable goal. So that measurement might be over the next 12 months, over the next 6 months. So defining how long of a period you want to be focusing those efforts on. And all that's going to come from a series of things. So number one would be your marketing analysis. So a marketing analysis, I'm going to give you just an example. Your target audience might be small to medium-sized business owners. And right. just knowing that that's who you're targeting, starting there. Next would be just doing like a SWOT analysis, which that is an acronym for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Okay. If you write down a grid, and what I like to do is take a sheet of paper. I'm more tactile, so I like to write it out, but whatever works best for you. And coming up with a grid that you put like a giant T in it, and then yes. you have your strengths and your weaknesses on one side and your opportunities and threats on the other. I would suggest making this as simple as possible, almost to the point where you only have like one paragraph or one bullet written down on each one. So that way you don't get overwhelmed by having too many goals set up for this. And then you can come up with those marketing goals from there. So let's say you want to increase your client base by 25% over the next 12 months or the next 6 months. So just writing out that like big goal, and then you can actually define your target audience from there. Defining your target audience usually has to do with really understanding the personas of the people that you're attracting. Right. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's who you're focusing on, but my advice is to really come up between one and three personas, depending on the way your business is. I just like three. I don't know. Three is always like a magical number for me because it helps me envision this person coming to life. So right. an example of a persona for you might be, there's a business owner that you're working with and his name is Ben. And Ben is like 40 to 55 years old, let's say. And also I would say when you're coming up with this persona, it's better to keep that window a little bit smaller, like a 15-year gap. I wouldn't say my target audience is between 19 and 65. Like it's just, that's too broad. So I would right. say break those into three separate personas, you know? So like this business owner, Ben, he is 40 to 55. He's a small business owner and he needs comprehensive financial planning or tax advice or investment strategies. So just narrowing that person down on their basic needs and what it is that you can focus on helping with supporting them and their growing business will help you put yourself in their thoughts and their in the front seat of understanding them and really being able to target the what they're needing from their business and their needs might be for that too. And that also helps you with your brand positioning. So then if right. you're providing tailored financial solutions, let's say, and you are seeing that your competitors have a really set program, it's like you choose between one, two, and three, that might not fit Ben's needs. But if Ben is needing a tailored financial solution, that's where you can come in and be the hero for him, right? And so you can help set those individual financial goals for Ben. And if he right. sees that you're really known for tailoring, then you're really going to reach the needs of Ben as well. So then once you have all that figured out, and sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's fine. Keep no, going.
Feel free to ask any questions as I'm rambling through this. But this is a journey or the process that I think is really important to get clarity on before even creating that marketing strategy. Because in the world of marketing, it's really easy for us to have such a wide umbrella and we can't really yes. service everyone underneath that umbrella unless we had an entire marketing team behind us. And let's be real, most of us who are self-starters or entrepreneurs, and this is your first or second or even your third business, most of this you're starting to do on your own and you have to wear a million different hats and you yes. can't really afford to put that money towards someone. And once you are ready to grow, then that money is going to be allocated perhaps to somebody that can help you with the final pillars that you know that it's going to be working for your business. Right. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they end up putting money into the marketing efforts first and then defining what their goals might be rather than starting with the goals in mind first. So then that ends up costing more time and resources. So if I back up to these marketing analytics, just figuring out who your ideal client is, and then you understand Ben's pain points and you know exactly what you can offer that maybe your competitors around you are not offering. Now you're ready for your marketing strategy. And your marketing strategy could be you're looking at what optimizes the best. Like your website is probably going to be your number one. You're going to ensure that it's user-friendly, obviously, that it's mobile responsive. Yes. You don't have any dead links on it. And it's including a consultation or something that makes it easy to book for your future guests. Right. And then you want to make sure, of course, that it's being optimized perfectly. Not perfectly. That's the wrong word. That is being optimized to the best of your ability. So that means that you are going to want to make sure that your search engine optimization is working on all factors, where you have optimized keywords, that you want to make sure that you're doing some homework on that end, something like investment advice or financial planning. But you really want to make it, if you have a brick and mortar in your city, then you really want to be the big fish in your small pond. And you want to make sure that most of your keywords are leading back to your direct city, your direct state, and all the surrounding metro areas within your area, within right. your zip code. If you have an online business, then that's going to be very different. Your approach might change. So that might be a blog where you have those keywords that are going to help with supporting everything. So really just thinking of it as a web, and that if the very center of your web is going to be your website, and everything around it is going to be funneling into that website, all the efforts that you're doing.
Right.
So maybe it's, for instance, like social media, mm-hmm. it might not make sense for you to be on TikTok, or maybe it actually will be a strength of yours, depending on the answer to that persona. If Ben is spending a majority of his time on TikTok and he's really looking for those quick, easy tips, or someone who understands his pain points, then that's where you're going to spend your efforts on TikTok. But right. maybe it is the more for that business professional. And so then it makes more sense to be on LinkedIn or Twitter. And that's where you can be sharing industry insights or company updates, or you can talk about your client success stories. So the efforts that you would be placing and who it is that you're reaching, you want to make sure that you're reaching not only the right audience, but you're doing it in a way that is going to be valuable to that person. So that way they take the next step on their own. And that really comes down to getting that organic reach. That's where most return clients come from, is organic reach. Yes, once you get that organic reach, you can put some ads behind it, sure. But I think that's the final piece. Sometimes people go a little bit ahead of themselves and they'll take something and they'll look at, oh, this got a lot of engagement. Now I'm going to put an ad behind it. And then they see that it actually didn't convert, but maybe they got more traffic because of it. And so that could have been one of the levers. But if your main thing that you're trying to get is higher sales, then that was not a successful ad. So right. that's why I'm saying doing this organic approach is going to be important, because that's going to help you decide where you want to place your higher ad revenue toward, or producing more things that are going to be like that original piece of content that actually led to more traffic or more sales. Right. And then, of course, client retention is going to be a big one. And again, that depends on your type of business, because maybe you don't have as high retention with your clients. And how is it that you can provide more value so that you could possibly have that? So it could be that marketing, email marketing might be a little bit higher than doing personalized follow-ups. Whereas right. if you have a business where personalized follow-ups, if you're doing that one-on-one tailored approach, you might have a bit more response and a higher response. If instead of spending an hour writing out your email marketing, you actually did follow-ups, if you had four strong contenders and you spent your time with them, you actually might have a higher ROI on that. So that's why I'm saying, like, doing all this stuff ahead of time can really help decide on which route to go. I don't know if I'm aging myself by saying this or not, but do you remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books?
Yes. Yes.
It's like that. So when you think of creating a marketing plan, it really has to do with choosing your own adventure. And based on the journey that you want to take your own business to, and the guests that you want to bring through that, it helps you decide on which chapters you're going to go through. One's not right or wrong. It just has to fit your needs of your business and where your biggest goals are and your objectives. So that's where I would say that. The rest of it comes down to the fun stuff. And I find it fun. I mean, it could be challenging, of course, but sometimes you have to go a little bit wide before you can go narrow and really hone in on those things. But yes. obviously, the wide part of it can come from your organic traffic, and then you can narrow down the nitty-gritty and getting down to those details. And then you could say, I know exactly where my clients are living. I know exactly what they need from me. I know how many hours I should be spending on this. And then it feels super empowering to take those next steps because you've done all the homework ahead of time. And then you're not throwing darts in the dark and hoping that you're going to hit your bullseye.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And like, just to touch on that a little bit as well, where you're saying to figure out where your ideal client is. So then in that sense, you wouldn't advise someone to be like on every platform they possibly can be, because maybe their ideal client isn't on LinkedIn. Maybe they're just on Instagram. So focusing down on those areas would be smarter for them than trying to spread themselves so thin.
Yes, 100%. Yes, absolutely. And that's where you can go back to that survey I was talking about earlier. If you're not really sure, then just ask some people. Sometimes also, if you enjoy a certain platform more than others, a lot of times it will make you want to show up to that platform more. And you can always start there. And if you're not finding the results you're looking for after that quarter, then you can really reevaluate and decide, okay, I saw the highest return on these two types of posts. I'm going to make sure that I'm just going to do those two types of posts only twice per month. And then I'm going to hire somebody to do engagement for me. So that could be something that you would decide, where if your time was not allocated best on that platform, and then you were trying out a secondary platform, then you decide, I'm going to place more of my efforts, like 80% of my time is going to be spent on this platform instead. And so that's where you're working. I mean, I hate to use this term, but it really is working harder, or working smarter, not harder. So the working harder part is figuring out what platform people are sitting on first. Mastering one is going to be better than trying to be in all places. And then you can place your ads appropriately around the other platforms that you might not be as present in, especially if you know that some of your clients might be living on that platform. But yes, definitely narrowing down to a platform that works best for you and that you enjoy, but also has your clients as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some common mistakes businesses make when building their marketing team, and how can they really avoid those mistakes?
That's a good question. So I think some of it can be not having defined roles, really. If somebody is not clearly defining the roles or responsibilities of each person within their business, that can be really confusing. I think there could also be maybe a cultural fit problem, that maybe like you're not finding somebody who is aligning with your business or your objectives or what it is that you're trying to help. Maybe you're not fitting with the skill sets with that as well. I think another thing could be maybe there's a lack of training, or there is not enough put into the professional growth too. That can also happen. And then sometimes too, it just comes down to a collaborative process, fostering what is going to be the outcomes and how each person can contribute to it. But I think in general, just really knowing how you can collaborate with a person that you're working with and understanding what their needs are. Sometimes I think people can overthink what their needs are. And sometimes I also think that they focus on the wrong measurement. I think one of the biggest things when I talk to people is they're like, well, I want to make more money. That's great. I want that for you too. I want that for every business. It's hard. It's hard to run your own business because it is a constant moving target. It's not like you're going to figure it out and it's just that's going to be it. So I think it's really getting clear on what you really actually want. And if somebody were really asking themselves that, well, I want to retire early because I want to enjoy my family. So really the root of it is you want to spend more time with your family. And the irony is that people are willing to put in 70 to 80 hours of work and be away from their family trying to get there. So sometimes it's like putting the cart ahead of the horse instead of just being like, what is the most important? I keep using the word lever, but really what's the biggest lever that I can pull? So that way I gain the highest return on the time investment that I'm putting into something, because my ultimate goal is to spend more time with my family. So I think just really getting clear on that is important.
Absolutely. And how often do you think that businesses should review and update their marketing plans?
My suggestion is to do a quarterly review. So that way you can like really look through what is working, what isn't working. It's always good to know the answers to both of those. And then obviously looking over your KPIs and adjusting anything based on what data is showing you. So you can go over market trends, you can go through Google Analytics, and you can just see, what results am I getting out of this? If you get more funneled traffic coming in from blog posts, for instance, but you can't see that instantly because most blog posts, they take a while, right? They take months to sometimes years. So doing quarterly reviews on that, sometimes you might not see it in that first time, So then that goes into the next one. I would do an annual review after that. And that's where you're doing like more of a snapshot of everything. So you're going into your marketing plan. First of all, you're going to open that back up. And then you're going to revisit all the things within your business objectives and just see, am I still aligned with this? Is this making sense for me? Is this something that I'm really trying to achieve right now? Obviously, reevaluating your competitive landscape and then looking through some of the insights of your audience and what's reaching them. What is your retention rate looking like? All the things that are going to be important for the health of your business, I think, is always good to update annually as well. I tend to do it sometime in October is my favorite month. I really want to reevaluate. That's also where I shut down opportunities to work one-on-one with people. And like I was telling you before, 80%, right? So if you put 80% of your efforts into something, then you're going to see the highest results. So that's where if I close off opportunities to work with individuals, that's not consuming my brain power, my time, my energy, and I'm able to funnel that back into where my key objectives are. That's also what keeps you from hitting burnout, I will say, because sometimes when we lose alignment with a thing that we really want, it makes it feel like we're not just overwhelmed, but we're a little lost. And then it can feel as if, okay, we're spending a lot of our time, but then we've lost focus a little bit. And that's where we start to lose passion for things. Yeah, that's how often, quarterly and annually.
Just to touch on that a little bit as well. If you're doing that quarterly review for your marketing plan and you see that someone is not doing so well on like email marketing, or maybe they're posting every day on LinkedIn, but they're getting nothing out of that, what is your best piece of advice that you would give them to be like, okay, maybe there's a shift we need to take or something like that so that they can get on the right track? Or would you tell them just to be like, I don't think that platform is working for you?
It could be one of two things. It's possible that the platform, you're not reaching the right audience. It could be that the objectives that you have behind the content that is being created for that specific platform is not reaching the audience that you're looking for. And oftentimes too, I think if people are spread out too thin and they're just creating content to create content, then that's just what happens. Like you end up creating the content and then it just lives there and there's no call to action, or you're not spending time with conversing with the right people. So then they don't actually see yours. I guess if we were to use LinkedIn, since you said that LinkedIn is an example, if you're not spending your time really building up your pack of people that you feel like you really belong in, and you're just putting out content and you're not really spending your time with having honest conversations, or you're not spending your time with that organic approach, maybe you're not following up with something, like maybe you're talking with somebody in your messaging and then that falls a little flat. So I think spending your time really intentionally rather than just creating the content for that is going to be more valuable than creating the content for it. But it's also like the twofold, where it's possible that maybe you thought that your audience, you would be able to hit your audience there, and it's just not producing the kind of results that you're looking for. And perhaps you're seeing that more traffic is coming from another place you never thought would be, like perhaps Pinterest, for example. Like, to your surprise, you're like, wow, okay, Pinterest, I'm actually seeing some traffic coming from there. What if I were just to create more eye-catching covers that were already attached to the content I've been creating, and then it's still funneling back to that call to action? Yes. Let's try that in the next quarter. Sometimes you do have to shift gears in order to really see what's working. And with that said, sometimes something could work really well, and then there is a big shift that happens. And a lot of times people want to focus on the algorithm, or they want to blame something else. But sometimes our very own audience may be shifting their needs, preferences, where they're hanging out too. So it's always good to revisit that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful too, is to just make sure that you're on the right track, because there are so many new platforms and new things that are popping up nowadays. And everybody wants to be everywhere. But when you narrow in on where you want to be, if it's working for you, I think that'll help you so much, especially in the future.
I mean, there's so many experts out there that will say the opposite. And in no way am I an expert in saying you should do this, you should do that. I have just found the highest return on investment. That's really what we're talking about here. And I think there's something to be said about like financial stability, but also time stability. And I think sometimes when we are running a business, we almost see it as a race. And it's like, what is the rush? What is the race toward? If we have a more sustainable business, a more balanced, harmonious business, then that means that we're putting more intention into time so that way we can allocate the resources properly. If we're spending our time with just like post, 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 and all of a sudden you're on every platform, but you're just like posting and ghosting and you're not actually spending that time well, then was that a good use of your time? Then we would know the answer is no. But sometimes you do go through that process where you do it and then you have to almost see what results happen from it in order to decide, okay, this is where I want to actually double down. But finding the answer today might be different from the answer tomorrow. And I just think extreme flexibility is so important in any business. And reevaluating that is, there's always going to be value in doing that over just trying things and, oh, it didn't work, and then never doing it again is going to be a lot more valuable.
Well, Ambrosia, I really appreciate you taking the time to come onto the podcast today and really just give some really good insights to my listeners. Where can people find you and connect with you so that they can get to know you better?
Yeah, everywhere it's under Ambrosia Carey. So Ambrosia Carey on Instagram. I would say going to my website, it's www.ambrosiacarey.com. That's where I have a bunch of resources listed there. I do quarterly reviews, and I also just even create a marketing strategy and a roadmap for businesses. And usually what that looks like is we get on a call together. I usually send out a questionnaire first. We get on a call together. We talk about some objectives. We talk about some of the biggest pain points, and then we figure out what is bringing you the highest amount of revenue and what do you enjoy doing? And there has to be that twofold answer, because it can't just be what's bringing in the revenue, but also what you love doing. And then we come up with a strategy from there. So it's really about simplifying what it is that you know already. And sometimes getting that feedback loop, if you start asking people, you may even get the answer you're looking for, or you may end up, you know what I mean? Like sometimes yes. That's what happens. It's like you get a feedback loop. You're working with somebody, or you're asking a friend and they're telling you what you want to hear because they're your friend, or you're looking for the answer you're looking for. So sometimes just working with a third party that can help you lay everything out so you can just get a very clear vision, and getting a third party's objective by looking over your website and just seeing, okay, this doesn't make sense. This needs a little bit more clarity. The keywords in this, I would probably restructure. Sometimes that's all you need, you know, just that. That's really where you can craft the beginning of your stuff. I don't think you need to have somebody that ongoing that runs the marketing for you unless you have, I mean, I really think in the first like 1 to 3 million of your business, you should not have a marketing team. You should not have somebody that's like helping. This has to happen from you. If you are the person who figures out and narrows this down, then you can pass it over. Otherwise, you're paying someone else to do it for you. And that can cost your business 1 to 2 to 3 times more. So I would say start small, start working with somebody who can really help you create that clarity in your objectives. If you don't know yet, do that homework first before you actually bring that to table. And don't let someone decide for you how you need to run your business. A lot of times you probably know more than you give yourself credit for. Let's start there. But anyway, that was a long tangent. I tend to do that, but you can find me at ambrosiacarey.com.
Thank you again so much, Ambrosia. And I'm sure my listeners will love hearing your story and getting some definite insights into how to build a marketing plan.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. And I'll go ahead and forward a marketing plan worksheet to you as well that you can drop in the show notes for everyone to test out and just see if that actually works for you. And there's a PDF that kind of gives you some ideas of a layout as well. So hopefully that will help you.
And that wraps up another insightful episode of the Creative Mind Smart Money podcast. We've been honored to have Ambrosia Carey share her wealth of knowledge on success coaching and effective marketing strategies. Remember, the key takeaways are to start small, understand your business goals, and focus on where your audience truly is. As Ambrosia emphasized, it's not just about making more money, but also about creating a sustainable and balanced business that allows you to enjoy what truly matters in life. If you want to dive deeper into Ambrosia's insights and strategies, be sure to visit her website at www.ambrosiacarey.com. There you'll find valuable resources, including a marketing plan worksheet that can help you streamline your efforts and drive real results. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you found today's discussion as enlightening as we did. Until next time, keep those creative minds sharp and your financial strategies smarter. Farewell, fellow travelers.